Thanks for joining us for The Hope Dealer. Every week, we'll take you behind the scenes of street ministry, sharing stories from Salem and beyond, talking about faith in action, and exploring what it really looks like to love people who are often overlooked or forgotten. Matt Massera has dedicated his life to meeting people where they are and pointing them to Jesus Christ. Matt reminds us that no one is beyond hope. This is The Hope Dealer.
Hey folks, we're glad to be here with you again today, and we got Stephen Hill for a second time, a second episode on The Hope Dealer. And again, the topic's just going to continue into this episode in reference to nobody is too far gone. So, you know, even in that, I mean, the first time I met you, you were, you know, at the old Union Gospel Mission in Salem.
Yeah.
And that was amazing because you're still in it, right?
Sure. Yeah.
And everything was a setup.
Everything. Yeah. No.
Everybody's
meth,
coming
meth is
for
a terrible
it.
Drug. So.
Yep.
I think back on that, and I got to the Union Gospel Mission. I'd gotten out of prison August 2015, almost 11 years ago. And I ended up back in the midst of addiction, running, trying to go deeper into the drug world, into all that comes with that. I wanted to be bigger than I was before, doing more than I had been prior. Well, it did not work out the way I had planned it. It's
God.
Common theme
yeah,
in
God.
That world, and praise God too, right? Is he had another plan, and I can look back now and I can see, wow, God, you protected me there. God, you didn't allow this to take place, because if had, who knows what would have happened. But in that, I was still facing the consequences of my sin in a very real way, and that's how I ended up at the mission, the Union Gospel Mission. And it was the very end of 2015. I was dealing with psychosis and being on the run from law enforcement and other people in the world of crime. And I ended up at the front doors of the Union Gospel Mission with nothing but the clothes I was wearing, a water bottle, a knife, warrants, and paranoia. That's what I brought with me. And I checked in there with a fake name. Because obviously being on the run, you don't know if they're, you know, running your name or something. And so I'm hiding out. That's my whole purpose there is I'm just going to hide here for whatever reason. I'm showing up to this place. There's nothing going on for me other than everywhere I go, I'm thinking this person's after me, this person, it's all a setup kind of thing. And I end up at the mission in Salem. And I was there for a week or more and kept hearing about the program. The New Life Fellowship program, and decided, yeah, maybe this is something I should join. And so that meant I had to tell them my real name. I was reluctant. Yeah. I said, you know, this is who I actually am. I've got warrants, this, that. And, Dan Fichek, who was the program manager at the time, was like, well, my recommendation for you is we're going to encourage you to turn yourself in. I was like, ah, man, that's a bad idea.
That's terrible.
I thought it was a terrible idea, but they for sure thought it was a good idea. Turns out they were right. I was wrong. Yeah. But so I did it. I turned myself in, did a sanction in jail. During that time, actually, it was interesting because it was while I was in jail on that sanction that the Muslim community had reached out to me and left me a voicemail. And so when I got out of jail, I had that voicemail. And so I reconnected with the Muslim community in Salem. It was very small at that time. It's still not that large. And so then now I'm in this program at the Union Gospel Mission, Christian program, hearing the gospel. Not real receptive at that moment. But so there I am. I'm in the program, but I'm also connected with the mosque. And so on Fridays, I'm going and praying and in the mosque. And then Sundays, I'm going to church because going to church was a requirement in the program. And so that was that dynamic there, which is where we met. And that's when I came in, and I was in the legal process of changing my name to Abdul Hakim. That's what I was going by already. But I was legally going to change my name to that. So that's where we first met. Very early on when I got to the program.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. And we were both coming up and out of it.
Yeah, because you were fresh out of it, too, at that point.
Yeah, April 5th, 11 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, was the last overdose. And
yeah,
and been walking together all that time, which is amazing, you know.
Yeah.
And then seeing where you're at and what God lets us be a part of in this city that is not at peace.
Sure.
Salem, Oregon.
Who would ever thought?
People of peace now, but we used to participate in destroying as much of this place as we possibly could. And it was really exciting for us. Other people didn't like it.
Yeah.
But really, who cares about that? Right? That was the position, though. It's like, that's the nature of that life. It's like, what you're doing is wrong.
The slogan was, I do what I want.
Yeah.
I do what I want so well, other people do what I want.
This happens.
Yeah.
You can't talk yourself out of this situation now. Yeah. And this is your fault. You made me do this to you.
Oh, no.
But that's the reality of that heart.
Oh, it's hard.
Like, and it's still here everywhere.
Yeah.
And that's what we're
operating.
Yeah.
And so that's the hope, right? That's what we're sitting here today. Not just to say praise God for the new life he's given us, but we want to be thankful. We want to be actually doers of the word, right? He didn't save us for nothing, right? He saved us to go back in. He saved us to reach people that are in that mindset, to say, hey, on the one hand, I get it. But on the other hand, that's not the way to live, right? That there's a whole nother way. And that's what I needed. And that's what I got faced with at Salem Heights. That's what I got faced with at the mission and at the Most Excellent Way, is I had to reconcile, why were people loving me? Right. And that was a mind blowing concept for me, is these people are just saying they genuinely care about me for no other reason than they want me to know Christ and they wanted to see me do well. And I was very suspicious of that. I said, I don't think so. Pretty sure you probably want something from me.
There's something on the back end.
Right?
It's about if or when, and for sure you're gonna come ask.
Exactly, soon. Right. When does the other shoe drop in this? Yeah. Like, when do you collect on your love here? It wasn't. No, it was. And then consistency over time, I see Pastor Matt, I'm building a relationship with you, and I'm Dan Fichek and other people at the mission who are genuinely just sharing the hope of Christ with me, saying, hey, you know, we get it. We want to see you do well. This is true. And then consistency over time, as that plays out, you have to really deal with, okay, this is not a human love. This is a supernatural thing. And I had to come to terms with that. And so I see God's hand in all of that, to then rescue me out of Islam, right? To rescue me out of criminality, to rescue me out of just the sin that I was entrapped in. And there's a lot to it. There's a lot of sin that takes place from birth to salvation. But praise God, now we get to live a completely different life. Now, as we were talking in the last episode, now I get to be a husband. Now I get to be a dad, right? Now I get to build a new legacy. And I pray for this to continue for generations, right? That there's a new legacy set in my family and for my kids and for their kids, that looks completely different than what I knew. Because that's a super encouraging thing to see, coming out of where we come from, is to see healthy families, right? Christians, generational Christianity of people walking faithfully with the Lord is a mind blowing thing. It's an encouraging thing. It's like, man, that's what I want for my kids. That's what I want to see for them. And then in a real way, as they grow up to follow the Lord and to go out and do the same thing, what do they see us doing? Do they see us engage in the world with the gospel, or are we just sitting around talking about Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. No, we want to be those who go and engage with the world around us.
Yeah, and like you were saying, missionally minded, right? 365 mission trips a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good number.
That's not even on a leap year.
True. So we've been on thousands upon thousands of missions trips at this point in time in our walk with the Lord, right?
Sure.
Yeah. And we're continuing to follow Jesus. I should add, so everything's been really easy?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's a myth. Fake news.
It's fake news.
No, it's been rough, man, at times, because you realize... that sin nature, right? We talked about earlier that the problem is sin, but yes, the problem is sin, but it goes deeper than that. It's a sin nature problem, right? That We have a corrupted heart. Our desires, the things that we chase after in life, that's what God wants to transform. And I come to know Christ, I get saved, and now I've got to relearn how to think. I need a new mind. I need a new heart. You get married and then you have kids, and I start realizing, oh, there's still a lot of selfishness in me, right? Okay, when I was walking with the Lord, I'm like, okay, I'm doing pretty good. This is my faith walk. Yeah, there's hard things, but I'm having victory in this area and that area. Praise the Lord. Get married. Oh, wow. This is revealing a lot of selfishness in me that I didn't even know I had, right? Have kids. How do you take care of another human being that offers you nothing? That's selflessness, right? You got to learn how, I had to learn how to be selfless, and being a loving servant hurts. If we're doing it right, it actually hurts, because we got to die to self. We got to put the flesh to death and say, no, I'm going to care about the lives and the souls of other people more than me. And that starts to look like something. And, so no, it's not been easy.
Yeah. Well, I love how you bring that up, because that was Christ. Like, his life was a benefit to all others over self, right? Yeah. He saw others as more important than himself, and he was the Son of God.
Right.
Fully God, fully man. Like, if there was anybody that could have said, no, I'm here and you serve me.
Right.
No, he came to serve.
Right. Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what we're called to imitate. Mm-hmm. Right. He modeled
Jesus.
It for us perfectly, right? To be a Christian, little Christ.
Yeah.
We're to be like him. And as he models that for us, right, he sets the standard. The standard doesn't change. He is the standard. And that's what we measure ourselves to. It's not measuring ourselves to each other. Okay, this brother over here, he's walking real strong with the Lord. Praise God. We should praise God for that. But he's not the standard. Or this brother over here that's still trying to get his feet under him, right? He's not the standard, right? And so if we find ourselves looking at this guy, oh, I'm not as good as him, or, well, at least I'm better than him, like, that's self-focused, right? Mm-hmm. That's pride. No, the standard's Christ. Well, we all fall short of that, but praise God for the Spirit of God as we learn to walk out this new life to look more like him. And that means being about what he was about.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the standard. He is the substance, and he never becomes something other than.
Yeah, yeah, amen.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's walking a manner worthy of the calling that you've been called to, right? High calling, our walk, we're called to walk in a way worthy of that, not try to bring that calling down to our walk, right? Mm-hmm. That's our inclination. We want to try to change that. No, we're the issue. We're to elevate.
Oh, thank you for sharing the truth.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah.
There is a about, component right? of error in Christ. It's not Jesus. It's not the Word.
But yeah, so it's, we get like, to share hope, right? It's there's plenty to do. We are on the mission field in Oregon. Mm-hmm. If we want to live faithfully, that means we're engaging everybody everywhere.
Oh, everybody. So you're not doing everywhere. Interviews first to find out what somebody has going on in their life and then determine where they're going to share with them?
Nope.
Amazing. Thank you. Ever start doing that.
Yeah. No, I don't. It's not on the agenda.
Okay, good.
And I wasn't going to squeeze it in.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So
how
I think
much
we
effort?
Should start with the gospel and then we'll work our way into the gospel.
Okay.
Finish strong with the gospel. How about that?
We're in alignment. Yeah. And it continues and goes off into eternity with the gospel.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Except for once it's in eternity, we no longer evangelize, right? Because everybody there's made it. So we got to do that here. Evangelize. Yeah.
Yeah, we got to evangelize. Oh, do the work of an evangelist. Even people that aren't gifted with evangelism, everybody's supposed to do the work of an evangelist.
Yes. Yes. Yes and amen.
Okay. Yeah.
No,
I mean, God told us that.
Yeah. Share with everyone. Something about the nations, right? There's something in the Bible about reaching them.
Yeah. Matthew 28.
I think I read it once. Something about Jesus having all authority on heaven and earth. And because of that, now he's made a charge to his followers to go to the nations and disciple them, right? Uh-huh. Teaching them to obey, right? Baptizing, that thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we should take that serious.
Yeah. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Disciples of Jesus Christ.
But the reality is, brother, it starts right here in our backyard.
Yeah.
And so whatever, you may say, someone may hear this and think, oh, well, I don't have a testimony like Matt's, or I don't have a testimony like Stephen's. I didn't get saved out of addiction or criminality or Islam. How do I reach people? Like, no, the reality is everybody who is in Christ has been saved from sin. once separated, right? Paul wasn't writing that Ephesians passage to just people that come from what the world would call a very dark background, right? No, he's writing it to every single human that's ever existed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In darkness, depravity, needing to be renewed, needing to be saved by grace through faith. That's everybody. And then you're saved. And then you go out and share, no matter who you are, where you are, you go out and share and impact those who God's put in your sphere of influence.
Well, and it's amazing because even as you bring that up, right, when Paul, like he's doing this portion too in Titus 3:3-8, and this is for sure, I know, a very familiar passage for us because we share it every week at the Most Excellent Way. And I love it. It's here. I've got it memorized, but I've got it right here. So I'm just going to look at it. It says, and this is Paul, the former Christian murderer that God then transforms and he becomes a pillar within the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Right. And uses him to impact. I mean, we're talking about him today.
Yeah.
And everything that came out of him was God-breathed, God-inspired, no flaws, no errors.
Yeah, amen.
And no contradictions. And it says this in Titus 3:3-8, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, and they, I would typically say towards Matt, or encourage somebody to put their own name in there because it's so personal.
Sure.
And appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, saved us through the washing, regeneration, and renewing of the Holy Spirit, and he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. These things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. And it really goes back to the portions that you were talking about in Ephesians too. But this guy was a killer.
Yeah.
And he was excited about killing people. And he had been given permission to kill people that were teaching the truth.
Sure. Yeah. He was going after him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was fun for him.
Yeah.
Like he's zealous.
Yeah. He was
like,
ambitious.
I've been given permission to kill you.
Yeah.
And you're actually, and then he comes to the knowledge of the truth.
Sure.
And then after that moment when Ananias, you know, God sends Ananias, that's the only time that Ananias is mentioned in scripture.
Yeah.
Well, you want me to go to who? You know what he does to people like me, right?
Yeah.
And he goes to him and he greets him as a brother. Yeah. And then immediately Paul starts to share.
Man.
And that's what you're doing. You get to do it at the Union Gospel Mission. You're serving in the most excellent way.
Yeah.
Like you are a servant in your home, like you're serving in Bebold Street Ministries.
Sure.
And we're evangelizing.
Yeah,
and we're making disciples of Jesus Christ, and we're encouraging other people, making disciples that make disciples that make disciples, right?
Yeah.
And even where you're at, you get to reach out to a ton of folks, just as, I mean, there's all this crossover, right?
Sure.
That society is written off.
Yeah.
Oh, those folks are hopeless. And there's people that would even say this, that are within the same household of faith that we are in Christ, and there's a bunch of folks that we know as family that give up on people.
Sure.
There's no hope for that person.
Yeah.
And they hate that person.
Sure. Yeah, I've heard it.
Me too.
Yeah, I've heard. And so I would just encourage.
And they're wrong. They're wrong.
Yeah, they're wrong. I would just encourage not to let your love grow cold. Don't let your love grow cold. Keep praying. Keep reaching out. Keep sharing because nobody's too far gone. They're not. It just takes that moment of coming to your senses and realizing that. Right. Mm-hmm. And we got to keep sharing and keep loving on people. Especially when the world and the rest of the world, and unfortunately even some, that would profess Christ have said, nah, there's no real hope for them. Like, no, that's not the right understanding of the gospel.
Yeah. And I'm going to use real specific language to say that is a lie from the deepest recesses of Hades.
Yeah.
The deepest recesses of hell is where that lie comes from.
Yeah, absolutely.
To look at somebody else and go, there is no hope for them, is a lie from the father of lies, Satan.
No, and I told you I wanted to say this about this, is if there is breath in your lungs, there's still hope.
Yeah. Yeah, because the decision gets made here.
Yep.
Because when somebody breathes their last breath and they're not able to be resuscitated,
sure,
where they're headed is set.
Right. Yeah. There's eternity's real. Hell's real. Heaven's real. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. And that's something we have to deal with here, this side of heaven. I had to deal with who Jesus was. Islam taught a false Jesus. I had to deal with the real Jesus, the Son of God,
right? The savior of humanity, my king, my messiah. And I had a deal with the real Jesus, this side of heaven. Praise God. Praise yeah. God that people showed up to me, didn't consider me a lost cause and write me off. I'm sure there was people thinking those things, but faithful men of God showed up instead and still continued to share. Yeah.
The truth
of it.
That's what I love, because Isaiah, what yeah. does it say in Isaiah about the word of God never returning void?
Yeah, something about it going forth, doing exactly what it's meant to do.
Okay.
It always accomplishes what it was meant to accomplish.
Oh, so it always returns to God, yes. having accomplished exactly what he sent it forth to do?
Amen. True.
So it's all about yeah. what he said he's going to do. We get to share it.
Yeah. Yep.
And then he does with it exactly what he said.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not about us producing any results. Is that nope. what you're saying? Okay.
No. Everybody's equipped to evangelize. Yeah, if the Spirit of God lives in you, you're equipped to evangelize and take the pressure off your shoulders, because it's not you that saves people. It's not me that saves people. It's not any Christian. It's us being faithful to proclaim the message that was given to us, the message that's laid out in Scripture, that if you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you will be saved.
Yeah, so you, for yeah, yeah, believe.
Yeah. Right?
All who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved.
Yeah.
He Amen. Is the Son of God.
Yeah.
He wasn't just a good guy. He wasn't just a prophet.
Nope.
He wasn't just a man.
That's right.
He is, was, and always will be, and always has been.
Yeah.
The Son of God. And yeah. so whether you were a gangster or you always listened to mom and dad, you know, you never yeah. went over the speed limit. You went to all your classes. You didn't skip any classes.
Hey, praise God.
Yeah, you didn't plagiarize yeah. any paperwork at the schoolhouse. Like, you didn't do none of that stuff.
Yeah, right.
You know.
Still need Jesus.
Okay.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Still need it.
So all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
None are good. No, not one.
No, not one.
So there's no such thing as good people in heaven?
There are not.
Okay.
Yeah. Only because, redeemed people.
Oh.
Yeah. Not saved by our works.
Okay.
But we are saved by Jesus's, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's about what he did.
He fulfilled the law.
Yeah.
Right?
When yeah. he said it was finished, he yeah. meant it.
He did mean it.
And then yeah. he went to the depths and proclaimed that it was finished.
Finished. Death couldn't contain him.
And then God rose his son from the dead.
Yeah. Amen.
To have power over sin and death.
That's right.
And if somebody yeah. believes in his death, burial, and resurrection,
yeah.
they are saved and forgiven, restored to right relationship
That's
with
right.
God.
And now there's a hope.
Yeah, and then he finishes everything he starts.
Yeah.
He promises it, right?
Yeah, because this isn't it.
And I know for me too, so for the person that was born in a loving household, both parents were present, mm-hmm. loved them, they were taught the word of God. You know, they had everything that they needed, all the food, all the stuff, all those types of things. They never used dope with their folks. None of that stuff. That's my favorite testimony.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Favorite.
Yeah, we want that for everyone.
Yeah. I'm like, that's amazing.
A
that's a miracle.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
don't, that's the thing, but there's so many things that will keep people from sharing fear.
Sure.
Well, what if somebody says no? Well, it's inevitable that people are going to say no when you share yeah. the gospel with them, but it goes back to everything that we just went through, right?
Sure.
You don't, I don't. None of us, we don't save people.
We don't. Yeah. And you're going to be surprised as you're sharing with people, and you're going to see receptive hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start seeing God do the work in people's hearts. And then it starts to change your understanding and your thinking. And then you start really loving sharing the gospel with people. And you know, right, that it is exactly as Paul said it, right? He's unashamed of the gospel. Right. And there's a reason. There's a reason he's unashamed.
Yeah. Amen.
It's the only hope.
It is the only hope.
He knew that. And I think that we have to take that approach. We have to look at that, not because we've deemed it the right thing, but because God has deemed it the right thing. He's deemed the means of salvation. So,
And we're just going to go with what he says, because he never lies.
Yeah, we'll keep going back to that.
Yeah,
yeah. The truth, it transcends time, right? Rather I'm alive or I'm not, it's true.
Yeah.
And that's true for everyone.
So you don't encourage people to be about their truth? No. You do you?
You do you is another one of those lies that's leading people astray,
it's
wrong.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's not true. Because
what if somebody said that to you, I don't know, 15 years ago?
Me do me? Yeah. I was already doing it.
Cool.
It
give me
good.
Everything
yeah.
you got.
Yeah.
Where so do you live?
Yeah. If truth is subjective to me, then... Then me stealing your wallet, you can't get mad at.
Yeah.
Right?
You told me I could.
It's my truth.
You told me to be about what I want to be about.
No. Yeah. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah. It's terrible.
Yeah. No. Objective truth. It's real. It's in the Word of God. We need it. It's the only hope.
Yeah. It's true. That's true.
Amen, brother.
Awesome. Yeah. And this has just been an amazing time.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for having me here. And
thanks for coming, man, brother. Thanks for taking the time.
See what the Lord does with all of it.
Amen. Yeah. Jesus is the only hope.
Amen.
For all mankind.
Yep.
And so we're going to continue to go share, and we're going to encourage you all. And one last thing, folks. I'm going to encourage Stephen to this too. Continue to put 0% of your efforts into being liked, popular, and or being a people pleaser.
Amen.
Just keep following Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Following Jesus.
I second that. Yep. Couldn't say it better.
All right.
Yeah.
Love you all. God bless.
God bless.
Remember, hope isn't found in circumstances. It isn't found in government, politics, or possessions. Real hope is found in Jesus Christ. Thanks for joining us for The Hope Dealer. We'll see you next time as we continue sharing stories of lives changed through faith and the power of God's love. Until next time, be generous with your kindness, bold in your faith, and never stop dealing hope.